Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. This is the day devoted to what's happening in the Quincy Public Schools and coming up in October, Quincy Conference. Now, for a lot of parents, the only thing they know about Quincy Conference is kids have days off. But it's really important that we understand that professional development for our teachers is critical and that parents can also avail themselves of Quincy Conference because, after all, parents are the first teachers and often the best teachers of our own children. So let's start. We'll go age before beauty. Dr. George Meyer is here. Good morning, Dr. Meyer. How are you today?
Pleasure to be in your company.
Very nice to see you, sir. Shelley Arndt is the present member of the school board.
Good morning. Good morning.
And you also have a teaching background.
I do.
Okay. And Emily Poole is a teacher at Rooney School. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Well, we're glad you're here. You have to miss out on probably the funnest thing you do is teach.
So yes, very
thank
true.
You for the sacrifice today. Quincy Conference is put on by a team of people. We don't have time probably to give accolades to all of them, but we do want everyone to know that there are a group of teachers and educators and assigned by the school district to make sure this happens every year. And so Shelley and Emily are here representing that. We joked in the green room that it's the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. So let's start with the ghost of Christmas past. George Meyer, tell us a little bit, how did Quincy Conference get started? What was the rationale for starting a day like this, a multi-day series of trainings for teachers?
Well, in 1972, it was the first Quincy Conference, and we had sent people out to see new things in education, to conferences in Minneapolis, a conference at the University of Notre Dame, and when they came back, they were talking to the core group that was to get these ideas out to all teachers. And lo and behold, Larry Eamon was the first one to speak up with the idea. He says, well, why don't we just invite them here and let our people hear them and charge people from around to come, and that way we'll break even and our people get it for free, all this information.
Money, good motivating factor.
Larry Eamon's sharp, I'll tell you that.
That's what I'd always heard, that basically you wanted to make sure that all the teachers got that information firsthand rather than one teacher then repeating it. So that was the impetus for saying, instead of sending our teachers all over the place, let's bring those people here and we can just stay at home and learn about it.
And by the end of the meeting, everyone was so fired up, we were going to invite people from Europe and have dancing girls and all this kind of thing to go at the Quincy Conference. We ended up doing had dancing girls. We had the area dance troops come in and perform at different conference events.
So you did have dancing girls.
Okay. We haven't thought of that.
There's always next year.
Always improving.
So this was, I think it's great. And how many school districts do you invite and how many participate in general? I'm sure there's some that come every year. Others may come, you know, every other year because each school district is struggling as Quincy once was before they invented Quincy Conference. How are we going to continually educate our teachers in the most cost-effective manner?
Well, this is very cost-effective in terms of right now. They'd have to talk about the funding better than I do, but a lot of grants are written, and area businesses support it. And the reason for this, it's a win-win with the community, and having all these people come into Quincy as visitors and spending money here, while at the same time learning themselves to take back to their school districts.
Okay. Let's move on to the voice of Christmas or Quincy Conference present, Shelley Arndt. Shelley, you've been involved in this long before you were a Quincy Public School Board member, so this is not something new for you. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with Quincy Conference. How did you first get involved, and now what is your involvement today, and what benefit do you see from it?
Well, after the initial reincarnation of Quincy Conference, and really it's a partnership between ACASI, which was the Adams County Academic Success Initiative Academic Success Initiative. Sorry, we've since changed the name, made it a little simpler. It's called Leaders for Life now. We had a representative from QPS and also from ACASI. And one of the people on ACASI wanted to step away from the role with Quincy Conference, and they needed a representative, and I became that person.
And so what benefit do you still see? Because as a school board member, obviously, this is your only one vote, but it looks to me that the school board is fully supportive of Quincy Conference. What benefit do you see for the Quincy Public Schools in hosting Quincy Conference?
I don't even think we can truly measure the impact that it makes on not only our educators, but our students, our community as a whole. It's really Quincy Public Schools' contribution is our use of the facilities. And without that, there would be no way that Quincy Conference could happen. If we had to dedicate funds to rent somewhere, it would just, the cost would be astronomical. So really, it's a win-win for everyone.
And like, a smaller like school said. District probably couldn't host it because
right.
they wouldn't have as big a, you know, I mean, Mendon School District mm-hmm. couldn't do it because they just couldn't bring as many people in, and it
exactly.
wouldn't be cost-effective for the speakers.
Right.
So Quincy has the central location, mm-hmm. the largeness of the district, the facilities that you have, and so, again, everybody else that comes in. How much, if I'm a school teacher in the Liberty School District and I want to go to Quincy Conference for professional development, how much does that cost me or the school district if they pay for me?
Okay. Well, because of our partnership with ROE1, which services Adams, Brown, Cass, Morgan, Pike, and Scott counties, anyone within those six counties that's an educator attends for free.
Wow.
$0.
$0.
Besides your travel.
Okay. And what if I come from Hannibal?
Well, then it's $250 for one day or $300 for 2 days.
And do you get a lot of people from
mm-hmm.
outside of ROE? Okay.
That's what we're constantly working on. We actually do have people coming from Hannibal, Palmyra, Canton, La Plata. Southeastern brings, I think, all their staff on Friday. So we're growing that. Back in the day, when Dr. Meyer was in charge, I came as a student teacher. And I was in Bloomington Normal at Illinois State University. So the Quincy Conference was far-reaching across the state, and we want to bring that even across the country, really. Like, we would have people from everywhere coming, so we want to get back to that
And
point.
You need that, because mm-hmm. if they come in, they bring, not only do they bring their dollars to our hotels, because
mm-hmm.
they have to spend the night if they're from far away,
yeah.
but they also bring that tuition that you're charging that makes
right.
it available to be free
right.
for everybody else who's in that West Central Illinois district. So
right.
that's great. As far as professional development, I think we'll jump over to Emily Poole, since Emily Poole is a current teacher at Rooney School. Emily, give me some idea, if you don't mind. How long have you been in the classroom?
I have been in the classroom. I figured out this is my 14th year in Quincy.
You look young.
So.
I thought you were going to say it's your second year. Yeah.
So
I
thank you.
I was going to ask her, what does a young teacher like you get out of it? Now I got to change
Throw
my
that
whole.
One out.
Yeah.
Hey, old bag.
Yeah. yeah.
But how beneficial is it for a classroom teacher? And you've obviously been going since you were a young teacher.
Yeah.
How beneficial was it the first couple of years?
Amazing. We get to hear speakers that we wouldn't normally hear. These are experiences and presentations that teachers would not necessarily have in their realm. And so we're bringing this amazing opportunities for professional development, things that teachers can take back to their classroom the next day, the next week, for the next year, and can really impact their students to be more successful. And that's what we want.
Does it also help that you're there with your compadres? So all the people from Rooney School, you may not all go to the same sessions, but if you have a brilliant idea or you know Professor XYZ said this, you can go to the other classroom teacher and said, let's work on this together because we, you know, it's going to take more than one person to change the world.
Definitely. So I've seen teachers plan for the conference in a couple of different ways. One way is that they will get together with their team and they'll kind of go to things together so that they can really strategize what they're hearing and take that back to the classroom. And then another way that teams will sometimes do it is, okay, everybody fan out, go to everything, and then bring it back so we can have the most impact on our students when
bring
they come back.
Bring back those handouts and
yeah.
take copious notes
yeah.
so that we can have as many experiences as possible. We're going to take our first break. We're talking about Quincy Conference, but before we do break, Shelley, I want to make it clear, I used to go as a layperson. I have nothing to do with education. I used to go mm-hmm. To Quincy Conference. I would, you know, I didn't do pedagogy of teaching, you know, whatever. But I would pick some things that I thought would be useful in my professional life. If parents want to go to this, is there a tuition charge for parents or people that live in the Quincy Public School District to go to this?
We do have a $25 charge for community members. If you choose to come and be a volunteer and help us out for an hour or two for one of those days, then you can attend the conference for free.
So by volunteering for an hour or two, I can go to the whole conference. I'll miss those 2 hours while I'm doing that volunteer work, but then I can sit in on the classes that I want.
Exactly.
Wow, that's pretty great. And we'll talk a little bit about maybe some topics that are of more interest to parents maybe than others. Because, again, unless you are, you know, a second grade math teacher, you're probably going, you know.
Our speakers are very entertaining.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. But you have to have some interest in the subject matter.
Probably.
Although I laugh. I said I volunteer in the second grade, and the other day I didn't know the answer to question 6.
Uh-oh.
On the math test. So maybe I better go back and do second. I've done second grade math now 3 years in a row.
Everyone's a learner.
And all 3 years, I barely passed the end of the year test to see if I can advance to third grade. So I keep having to repeat second grade math
over.
I'm still in third grade.
Yeah, 14 years, and you haven't done any better than that, Emily. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. A little blast from the past with Three Dog Night. We were not allowed to play this in the fifth grade at St. Dominic's School, but we could do Joy to the World. Apparently that had some remnant of some religiousness to the old nun. She thought, Joy to the World? Sure, we'll play that. We used to bring in our favorite songs. Can we play Joy to the World, sister? Why, yes, that's a lovely selection.
We pulled off
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, so it doesn't matter. Whatever you can pull over on a teacher is always a good thing. That's my philosophy of
life.
Wait
a minute. No.
The ghosts of Quincy Conference, past, present, and future, are here. I love that. George Meyer, who was around when it all started. Shelley Arnes, who was around when it all started, and Emily Poole, who, despite her youthful look, is older than you think, but probably wasn't around when it all started. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about the benefits of Quincy Conference. And I think for taxpayers, the benefit is teachers are going to have to get this kind of training anyway. Why not do it in-house? Why not make it as economically feasible as possible? It really does. I think a lot of people don't understand. The cost associated with Quincy Conference is a cost the school district would have to expend anyway to send people to, you know, Notre Dame University or Atlanta, Georgia, or some other place to get this kind of training. So let's talk specifically about overarching themes, because every year there's probably something trendy, and of course you're planning probably Quincy Conference 2 and 3 years even in advance. You're thinking about things. So who wants to talk maybe about some of the hot trends? I know we have actually a Stop the Bleed kit now that, you know, that people are getting in school.
Right.
I don't think Dr. Meyer ever thought there'd be a Stop the Bleed kit, you know, in every public classroom. You know, I don't even think you probably, Emily Poole, thought that that might be one of the responsibilities a teacher would have, would be after a mass shooting to try to treat as many casualties as possible before the ambulance could arrive. So are there things that are that topical, or are there things that current at Quincy Conference?
Sure. So when we plan Quincy Conference, we do look across what we kind of call them our like buckets or categories, and we look to fill different categories of need that we feel educators would need to most benefit their students. So we have quite a few sessions dedicated to social-emotional learning. How do we deal with students in trauma and in difficulty and supporting empathy and making those good decisions? We also have, with the increase in technology in our new buildings and just in our world, how are we as teachers teaching in a way to improve students' use of technology and make them the creators and do more with technology in the classroom with a meaningful purpose? We also have sessions that are for students of different varying needs, so that the kind of support that they might need or how teachers can create interventions or supports to help those students. And then we have just your regular categories of reading, writing, math, and different topics like that.
I was going to say that social-emotional component, that has always been part of the classroom teacher's life. I mean, if somebody has an illness in their family or a death in their family or they're going through a divorce, usually the parents communicate that to the principal or the teacher. And then the teacher is told, well, you know, little Susie may be feeling low or something, or have a little bit of depression because of something going on at home. Mm. But I think now it's not coming through the back door like, wonder what's wrong with this kid. Now you're really trying to ascertain and being much more proactive in finding out about home environments and what could possibly be hindering learning.
Absolutely. And there's also a lot of research, and we have sessions on trauma in students. We're really starting to learn that trauma can affect students in ways that we didn't typically see before. And how are we proactively dealing with those students, those situations, with those families? So unless we have the care and the concern and that level of safety for students first, learning can occur. So we really have to protect that social emotional, and then get on to some of the other learning topics, which one of our other categories is we also have self-care for educators and the resiliency in education, because it is a tough business. It's an amazing business. I can't imagine doing anything else, but it can be tough. And so taking time for teachers to reflect and relax and understand their own self-care so they can be the best educator for their students is important.
There's got to be a certain level of frustration in dealing with parents, because probably 90% of the parents just go along to get along, and you may or may not have much interaction with them at all. It's the 10% of any group that either that is probably on your radar screen. And to me, it always seemed that maybe this was just, you know, my upbringing, but when my brother or I got in trouble at school, the first question my parents asked was, well, they didn't say, did you do it? I mean, they assumed that I did it, because then my brother, too, and we had, you know, went to two different schools. So, I mean, It was like, you're in trouble. Whatever happened to you at school, watch out, because it's going to get even worse, you know, when Pop comes home. So that doesn't seem to be the first line of defense now. Now it's always, my darling would not have done something like that, or, you know, If my kid can't learn math, it's your fault that you can't teach him math.
I think a lot of that comes from first introductions and first interactions with parents, is to recognize that it's not me versus you and the kid in the middle, is that we're really a team that's all working together to see their student achieve and grow in the setting that they're in.
But how do you foster that? Because sometimes parents come with their own childhood wounds. Mm-hmm. If they hated school, it's really difficult sometimes. I hear adults talking, and I'm like, don't say that. I'm sorry you had a horrible experience at school.
Yeah.
But by projecting that on this little kid who's so excited to go to school, and then you talk about, well, what if your teacher's probably going to be mean?
Well,
that's not helpful.
I think we have a lot of really great sessions, and we have our keynote speakers that also hone in and focus on that idea of relationship. And that's where it all comes from, is when you build these positive relationships with the students in the first days. In my classroom, I really try to work to have as many positive experiences before I need to make a phone call where we have to shift a behavior. And some of our speakers are coming with that same message. And so teachers can hear that, reinvigorate themselves, and really go back and be able to create those relationships and those positive experiences. So hopefully you can even heal, you know, what the parents thought.
I think that probably the first couple of days of school, isn't it? I mean, I don't know that you're really trying to teach them academically much of anything, but you're trying to acclimate them to the classroom, to this new culture. They've got a new leader. The teacher's going to do things different in third grade than maybe happened in second grade. Some of the school rules will be the same, but it's their first chance. Because they get a chance to adapt to changes in their family, maybe with the birth of a new sibling, or the loss of a pet, or the addition of grandma moving in. But this is their little social environment, and they've got to get along with 15 to 20 other human beings. Mm-hmm. And it's really important, like you said, to set the stage in those first few days that this is a nice place to come to, because they're not going to learn anything if they don't want to be there.
Right. So in the first couple of days, my mantra is, I care, you matter, and we're going to work together to achieve. And that's kind of what we try to set up in those first couple of days to get them going. And then I think Quincy Conference coming in a couple months after the school year started, and some of those, and you do have procedures and routines. This is how we put our notebooks away. This is how you sharpen a pencil. This is where the tissues are. After you've kind of got some of those things settled in, and teachers are really starting to reach out for what kind of academic support and just support in general as a teacher can I get to improve my craft? And that's what Quincy Conference can bring.
What are some of the models or some of the classes that might be offered for the parents those who are the primary, you know, the primary caregiver of a child, mm-hmm. and they're like, wow, I have, like I said, I didn't know the answer to question six on the second grade math. I mean, I've never had kids, so forget it. If, I mean, my kids would all be dorks. I mean, they wouldn't know, I couldn't help them with their homework. So what can you do as parents? What's like some of the kind of classes that, that parents can take?
Like Emily said, I think that social emotional learning, understanding how you impact that for your child as well is important. And then we have a lot of, Emily also mentioned the increase in technology that students are using every day. So parents being aware of what that technology is, what part do I play in that? Can I help them with that? How do I better understand what they're doing? And how that lends to their education in the classroom.
Because a lot of parents don't have access to that. So their
right.
children are actually, not only can't they help them with their homework, maybe they feel like, wow, you know, but the kid comes with my laptop jammed. It's like, yeah. Don't talk to me. I don't have a clue.
Or in some cases, you have students that are doing things on computers and creating things in third grade. My students create PowerPoints. They're doing some computer coding. They're doing experiences that their parents either have never done or did not do until they were in college or have not done since college. So it would help them to possibly see what's happening in education and how are students using these to improve. We have over 400 individual sessions at Quincy Conference, and on our website, QuincyConference.com is a great place for you to start and go from any of there. You can find links to all of the sessions. So if parents and community members are interested in seeing what's there, that would be a great place to see the amazing amount of offerings that we have. Besides all of the amazing keynotes we have coming from all over, we also have teachers, local teachers that are presenting on topics that are close to our heart, and some community members that are presenting on topics close to students.
Yeah, I think that's great. If you wouldn't mind repeating, just for parents out there who
sure.
are a little bit intimidated by, I know, the other day, first day I volunteered, let's go down to the computer lab, Miss Pinky will help you. I'm like, oh, Miss Pinky don't know nothing. But I was able to, you know, kind of figure it out myself. But I'm telling you, I don't do that kind of stuff. And I was, you know, I'm sitting there in awe of these second graders. You can really tell the ones that do this at home all the time and are used to doing this, and the ones that don't have access to a computer at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the lab in school is their really only access to a computer. And maybe they have a computer at home and their parents don't want them to play on it because
mm-hmm.
it's not for play. So I think for parents out there who are struggling with technology and the fact that their children are outpacing them at that,
mm-hmm.
give them some encouragement that they can learn.
Yeah, they can. You know, ask your students. Google is a great friend. I teach my students, not necessarily, I don't know all the answers. I'm just the guide on the side, but it's more problem solving and how you can get there. But they can go to QuincyConference.com to see all of the offerings and the opportunities that might be there.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about Quincy Conference. It affects, you know, we've never said when it is, because I'm so assuming everybody knows their kids aren't in school that day. But we better give the dates here real quick.
October 10th, that's a Thursday, and Friday, October 11th.
And is there school Monday after that? Or
no,
is that
it's Columbus Day.
Columbus Day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a nice five-day holiday for the kids. But it's not a five-day holiday for the teachers. They, especially in all of Western Illinois, they are expected to come and be at this conference, right?
That's up to their districts, really. Some have arranged to have a professional development day. That Friday typically is our bigger attendance day.
Okay.
But they're certainly encouraged to by us.
Okay. Okay. We'll take a break. Bullying, a big problem. I know you guys have dealt with that at Quincy Conference. So many different topics, 400 different topics. Parents can come for a $25 fee if you volunteer to help at Quincy Conference, which doesn't mean you have to teach a class. It just means you might direct people where to go. You know, it's something Mary Griffith could do. And they're not asking you to, you know, do anything that takes higher level thinking. Just direct people, be there to be nice, people coming in from out of town, greeting mm-hmm. them. So they can go to the website and mm-hmm. sign up to volunteer for that as well. Over the years, this, you know, Quincy Conference has changed, it's grown, it's adapted. The teaching profession is not as well respected as it once was, and you're having a little bit more trouble getting people to go into the field. How do you combat that? As 14 years experience, you still love being in the classroom, Emily Poole. You love your kids at Rooney School. But what about some of the pressure that's on for people not to choose teaching as a profession? What do you say to them? Because you mentioned you're having self-care things, so you know it's hard. It's a stressful job. It's not the best-paying job. What advice do you give to folks who want to do it, but maybe they're being scared off by a lot of negative Nellies who say, oh, you don't want to be a teacher?
Oh, I don't know. That's a really hard question.
I think you know it's in your heart when you're a teacher. I really do. Like, it...
Don't
there's be something about your day that speaks to you, right?
Yeah, and don't be scared to listen to your heart. I had a pre-service teacher last year who thought about going into teaching, and then he was like, oh, I don't want to do teaching, it'll make him enough, and he went into computer science. He was miserable. He did not like it, and he wanted back in the classroom, and he was back in my classroom from QU and working with the kids, and things were going really well, and he was happy. He had found his place back in the classroom. I think there are a lot of pressures, and some days are tougher than others, but when you look at it, they're amazing. Children are just amazing. They are enjoyable to be around, and as long as you embrace that, and I get to teach them stuff, they leave, hopefully having grown together as a classroom. There's
and that's
nothing better.
You don't get when
no.
you're working on someone's computer.
No.
Yeah. They're grateful that you got the virus off of it, but then they move on and they don't see you in the store and go, I remember you. You are my computer tech guy.
Yeah. If you want to feel like a rock star in a community like Quincy, be a teacher.
Yeah.
When we walk around, all the teachers, there's so-and-so.
It's the same, too, whether you're the bus driver or the lunch lady.
Absolutely.
I feel like, I'm nobody's business when I'm without with my husband because there's Mr. Greg. And everybody just, they have to go hug Mr. Greg. I'm like, what am I, chop liver?
More of those positive experiences in the seeing adults in a positive situation like that, that's what grows that kindness in our community, I think.
Okay. Well, like you said, I think people who only chase the dollar will not be happy. You have to do what you love and then hope that you can advance in your career doing what you love. Well, someone who's advanced and advanced and advanced is our ghost of Christmas past here.
Sorry.
And he's giving me a test. Dr. George Meyer, what are you trying to do? Am I supposed to read this out loud?
Yes.
And it's not properly hyphenated, I can tell you that right now.
That's all right. We're going to have Shelly and Emily do it also.
Oh,
we can compare their scores to your scores.
So what am I trying? What am I? Give me the instructions. Read it.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You read it once out loud, and then after that, read it over again. You get 15 seconds to read it.
Finished files are the results of years of scientific study combined with the experience of many years of experts.
Now read it over, and I'm going to ask you to do something with it. You got 10 seconds left.
Finished files are...
Just read it to yourself.
Oh. Okay. Are we supposed to put...
Time's up.
Okay, are we supposed to put punctuation in here?
No, here's the directions. All right, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to count the number of F's in there. On your mark, get set, go.
Three.
Seven.
Okay.
Oh!
All right, time's up.
Okay, Shelly says two.
Five.
Oh, wow, there's so many of's.
One, two,
three.
Well, I obviously failed. I obviously failed.
I think Emily wins. Ding, 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 ding.
Emily wins. Mary failed.
There's seven F's.
Seven F's.
Woo-hoo! Go Foxes.
The reason I bring this up is because in 2007 I presented on the Seven Habits, and this is one of the techniques I use in Seven Habits to say if you start with the end in mind, you'll get it better. And, of course, I didn't tell you what you're trying to do with that.
Right.
I just did it. And I was driving to work at Quincy University, and you were on the radio and said, somebody sent me this thing about finished files and told me to count the number of F's, and I know there's only three F's there. So I thought I'd bring it back and give you the right answer. Most people miss the O's.
Yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't sound like an F, sounds like a V. Your reading paradigm, you skip the easy words, little words.
Yeah.
And
that's funny.
On top of it, if I would have given you directions before you started that count the F's, and said start from the back and go forward, probably most of you would have gotten seven.
Probably, because we wouldn't have read it. Also, it's hyphenated incorrectly. I just don't mean to be so rude, but I want everyone to know that I do know how to hyphenate. I thought you were going to say it's punctuated like, finished? Files are the results of years of scientific study, comma, combined with the experience of many years of experts. But there's no such thing as many years of experts. Whatever.
Just having some cognitive dissonance with that sentence.
I didn't get it right, and so the Mary Griffith style is, there is obviously something wrong with the test, not with me. If you have one of these children in your household, there is a conference for you, a Quincy conference, to deal with that kind of child. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
Good luck in all you do. Good luck in your classroom work. Good luck in your school board work. Thank you, Shelley, for serving on the school board.
Yes.
I know it's not always easy. And thank you for your wisdom and knowledge, oh great sage of the Quincy Public School.
That's a better thing.
Yes.